Not a little bit today. So what we'll do is, I have over here a tshuva that someone wrote, a friend of mine, and I have my ha'aretz on it. So we'll see what you guys have to say about it. So here's what he writes. Okay, here's the tzir. You guys listening? Avi, pay attention, alright? Because you're gonna lose the track. So you have a shidduch that was just finalized. Let's call it Mendy and Esti. That's the way he calls it. Everybody's very happy. It's very exciting. Mendy's going to be the next Gadol Hadar. He's ecstatic. He's good midos. Everything. And everybody's ecstatic. Except for one person. Esti's family has a family friend who happens to know that Mendy, the way he writes it over here, is Chole Nefesh Ritzini. Has serious psychological issues. And they deliberately did not reveal this to Esti's family. So now this friend, I guess let's give the friend a name. Let's call him Kobe. Okay? Esti, Mandy, Kobe. Yeah. What is it? So Kobe wants to know, should he tell them or should he not tell them? Yeah? You guys got the case? Pretty simple, straightforward. You got it? Okay? A shidduch was made. Everybody's happy. Just Kobe happens to know that they're tricking the Kala's side.
You missed the beginning.
Sorry?
You just missed the beginning. The beginning.
There's a shidduch. I told you, there's a shidduch that was made. Esti and Mendy. Mendy happens to be a Chole Nefesh Ritzini.
And Kobe knows.
And Kobe knows about it.
Kobe did the shidduch?
No. He's a friend of Esti's family. And he knows that Mendy's family deliberately withheld this information from Esti's family. And he wants to know, should he go tell Esti's family or not? Now.
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Oh, but there's an
issue.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Good. 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 You're right, of course. But there's another aspect to the Shiloh, to the case. The case is where he happens to know Esti's family is the type of family, they're not going to keep this information to themselves. They are going to pass this on. It's going to become, you know, the talk of the town. Right? They're going to say, I can't believe it, you know, you withheld this information. It's such a good thing that Kobe told us. They're not going to say that, right? That's what it was. So Kobe knows that Esti's family is these type of people. Okay? Not great. Not great. Okay? These are the type of people that he's dealing with, so he wants to know. On the one hand, you have an issue over here. Leisamno dam riecho? Leisamno dam riecho? How can you let Esti's family go ahead with this shidduch? It could cause them tremendous heartache, tremendous sorrow. It's terrible. It's terrible. On the other hand, lifnei either. If you're going to tell them this, and they're going to go do rechilus and cause a whole big machlokes, and then Mendy's family is going to be upset with you, and the whole thing is going to explode in your face. So what's the halacha? So, of course, his starting point is the Chavetz Chaim in Hilchos Rechilus Klal Tes. If you see that someone you know wants to join together with someone else, right? Doesn't make a difference whether it's a business shutfis or a shidduch shutfis, any type of shutfis. Doesn't make a difference. And you can tell this is going to be bad news for him. Sarich la'agid lo, like you said, you have to tell him. To save him from this terrible thing that's going to happen to him. But there's five conditions. We use the Lashon Tnoim, Chavetz Chaim uses the Lashon Pratim. There's five conditions. We're not going to go into all of them right now. Okay? Obviously, the most important condition, L'tayelis. It has to be that you're doing it L'tayelis. The Chavetz Chaim writes, U'bezeh prat ha'shlishi. In this third condition of Tayelis, Nichlal Gamkin Oiv Inyan Acher, there's another sub-condition, if you will. Shemilvara Kavono Shechavein L'Tayelis, V'loi Mitzat Seno. Besides the fact that you have to be doing it only for Tayelis, and not because you're upset at him, or you want to shtach him, or whatever. Besides that, Yizvoinin Mitchilim Tovoi Mizet Tayelis. You have to really think to yourself, wait a minute, is the Tayelis that I want to get out of talking about this going to happen. A lot of times it happens. You go tell the guy, listen, bad news. Don't make a shutus with this guy. You know, I saw there was a police record that he one time gandled and this and that and the other. The guy's going to go and make a shutus with him anyway. And then later, when he gets angry at the guy because he winds up messing him over with this, that, or the other, he says to him, you know, too bad I didn't listen to Dudi that he told me not to make the shutus with you. Well, by that point, all that is v'chilus. Is there any other such situation? People like this that you see that they have this bad need of rechilus, there's no heter. Because you, by telling them, are going to be machshel them. Now the Berman Chaim points out that in this little exposition over here, he really included two things. If he's not going to listen to you, so it's not going to be a tayelus. So you can't tell him, even if it's not going to come to rechilus. Even if he will listen to you, but if it's going to come to rechilus, it's aser. It has to be that A, he's going to listen to you, or at the very least, you think he's going to listen to you, and B, it's not going to come to rechilus. L'chayra, based on what we have in front of us, is Kobi allowed to tell Esti's family? Anyone?
Well, what do we get?
Based on what we just read, is Kobi allowed to tell Esti's family? You need to know, Mendy is a chole nefesh ritzini. Seriously psychologically ill.
What are the Miz?
What is this, Amir al-Aqam that you can give it to Darak Remez? Not quite.
Because usually we call it all the names that we said, the condition.
Ah, they must be alecha, that's been alecha, right?
Right.
No, say what's on your mind, you're smiling. No? Lachara, based on what we read, he's not allowed to tell them. If he knows that they're the type of people that they're going to go in there and say, oh, Baruch Hashem, that Kobi saved us from getting married to this chol and nefesh ritzini.
Tuchiyah.
What?
Tuchiyah.
Tuchiyah what? No, he knows. We're talking about where he knows. He knows. Mendy talks to him about it all the time, and he talks to him about his drugs that he's taking and the therapies that he goes. He knows. So l'chayra, based on what we just read, he's not allowed to say a word. So, however, the machaber of this tshuva has 6 kashas on this Chafetz Chaim. Kasha number 1. Why did the Chafetz Chaim wait all the way until the end of the Sefer practically? Okay, there's 2 halak in this. Chelek Aleph of Sefer Chafetz Chaim is Hilchas Lashon Hara. Chelek Beis is Hilchas Rechilus. Why did he wait till now? Why did he, in the beginning of the Sefer, when he started telling me about all the halakhas with Tayeles, that only if it's not going to cause rechilus? Why did he wait till now? What, all of a sudden he woke up? That's kasha number 1. Kasha number 2. If Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100. And Shimon says, La Hadam, Loi Hayu Dvarim Mei Olam. No, I don't. I don't owe you anything. Ani lo makir otcha. Levi happens to have been witness to when Reuven lent Shimon $100. He saw it with his own eyes. He saw Shimon borrowed $100 from Reuven. As a matter of fact, when Shimon asked Reuven to lend him, he said, could you please lend me $100? Reuven said, sure. Levi, come on over, be a witness for this halvoe. So what happens? Reuven goes to the Rav and says, I need to make a din tayra. Shimon owes me $100. He's not paying me back. Now, I just messed up because he's actually not allowed to say that. The Rav is fine. Be mazin to a din tayra. He's not allowed to say his taino. I one time actually I asked Rav Milinowitz about a certain case that I had with someone. Do I have a taina at all? I just wanted to know, do I have a taina? And he says to me, unlikely, maybe, but I can't be the dayan anymore because now you told me what your taina is. I can't be the dayan for you. The halacha is that the dayan cannot hear either side's taina until both of them are there.
So when the talk by
okay, they have to come at the same time. They have to come to the din Torah at the same time. In one ma'amad. They have to be there at the same time, in one session.
But they can't say they're...
They take turns, but they're both there. They take turns, but they're both there. Okay, so now, Reuben comes to the din Torah and he says, Shimon owes me $100 and I have a witness. The witness is Levi. Levi's the witness. Is Levi allowed to come and testify? Not only is he allowed to, he has a chiyuv to. He has to. Now, what if Levi knows that Shimon is the type of guy? What's the halacha if you only have an eid echad? You guys know? Shvuah. Very good. Shvuah. Eid echad al pishnai meidim yakum davar. Says the Torah that eid echad is yakum shvuah. Or the Gemara Darshan. And eid echad can be mechayv shvuah. That's all he can do. So Levi comes to Beis Din. He says, I saw with my own eyes that Reuben Taka loaned Shimon, he lent Shimon $100. What happens? Beis Din turns to Shimon and says, okay, take a shvuah. What if Levi knows Shimon is the type that he's going to take a shvuah sheker? By him coming to Beis Din and testifying, he's going to cause Shimon to do a serious avera. What then? No different. No different. There is a Midas Hasidus on Reuven, if I remember correctly, that if he knows that Shimon is likely to take a Shavuos Sheker, to not go through with the Din Torah, to just let the money go. Instead of having Hashem's name be used for a Shavuos Sheker, Chas V'Shalom. But Levi has a chiyuv to be made. He has an obligation to come and testify. I is going to cause him to do an Aveiro. But it doesn't matter. He has an achrayas to Reuven to try to do whatever he can do to help Reuven. Nikuda. So Maishma, what's the difference over here? You see that your friend, Chvesvas, Charlie, wants to go make a shutvis with Bob, and Bob, you happen to know, has a criminal record. So what, you're worried that it's going to cause rechilus? You have to help him. So what that it might cause him to do an Aveiro? That's kasha number two that he has. Kasha number three. Let's say you happen to know that a guy named Jack is going to go cut off Bill's arm. He's going to sever his arm. They got into a whole fight. And you know this guy's a real mafioso. He's the real deal. This is not a joke over here. He's the real deal. He's going to cut off his arm. Are you going to tell me that if Bill is the type of guy that he's going to do rechilos and he's going to tell Jack, let's say it's not a matzav, you know, you're not going to get in trouble, you're not going to be in any danger. But what? Bill's the type of guy he's going to say, you know, he's going to somehow protect himself and he's going to tell Jack and he's going to tell everybody how, you know, Dudi told me to be careful from him and it's going to cause rechilos. So he has a kasha. Are you trying to tell me that you're not allowed to tell him what you need to tell him to save him from such a horrific damage? The guy's going to lose his legs. He's going to lose his arms. The guy's going to cut his nose off. And you're not allowed to tell him because you might cause rechilus?
No, one of the conditions, if you have another way...
You have no other way. No other way.
Go tell him that he's going to cut your arms.
He's asking a theoretical question. He's saying, let's say there's no other way. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. The only way to do it is by telling, and if you tell, it's going to cause him to give rechilus, to come to the Isser of rechilus. So he asks, he says, could it be? Is it possible? in the face of such terrible nezek, you're not allowed to tell him because you're going to cause him to be over on an Isser? This is his kasha. Kasha number four is a very lomdisha kasha. If you have, let's say, I don't know, a non-religious plumber doing some work in your house, and lefi normal derech eretz nimus, you know, it's normal to offer him an apple, a cup of water. Now normally, the halacha is, if you know that someone's not going to make a bracha, you can't offer them food. That's called, you're being machshel them, maybe it's lefever deraisa, maybe it's misayeno. However, the paiskim, he brings from Rosham Zaman Arbach, say, listen, if you don't do what the norm is to do, and you don't act in a mechubad, nimusi, derech eretz type of way, so what's going to happen? He's going to hate from Yidden. As much as he might hate from Jews and Torah to begin with, he's going to hate them even more. He's going to think very lowly of them, and he's going to think that, you know, that these are not nice people. So which is worse? What's worse? Not making a bracha or having sin'at hadat? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that hating Torah and hating Jews and hating from Jews, that's much worse. That's what he quotes. Therefore, says he, you should give it to him, because you're making the Isser less, not more. He brings a similar example from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, I guess this was back, I mean, it's still like it nowadays. Let's say you live in a place where there's only one or two kosher ulamei smachot. You happen to own a kosher catering hall, a simcha hall, and some non-frum people come and they want to make an event. They want to make a wedding by you. No, they're not frum. It's going to be mixed dancing. Are you allowed to do it? Or is it nisayeya? Says the Moshe like this, listen, if they don't hire you, if they don't come to your hall, they're going to find another hall. So by you renting out your hall to them, you're not causing them in any way, shape, or form to do mixed dancing. They're going to do it regardless. Just what? If they go to another hall, then in addition to the Isser of mixed dancing, they're going to have the Isser of non-kosher food. So, Adarabba, says Rav Moshe, if you let them come to your hall, then you're at least saving them from that Isser. So, similar type of thing.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm going to warn, I would be keeping up to let mixed dancing, not
all the Rabbani will
chop off my head.
What? I don't think Rav Moshe was talking about Ramat Beit Shemesh or good making new
Shalim. I'm saying these days, yeah. I'm going to let in my place mixed dancing.
I hear you are. So maybe what you could do is that you could print out Rav Moshe's tshuva in very, very large print and frame it and put it on the wall over there.
Well,
so when they come at you with clubs,
black spray.
In any event, the idea is that if what you are doing, the sum total of that is you're decreasing, you're minimizing the Isser, not enlarging, then it's mutter. And not only is it mutter, that's what you should do. So he says over here, Nechzeyanan, let's think about this. If Kobe does not tell Esti's family that Mendy is a chole nefesh ritzini, what's going to happen? They're going to find out at some point, obviously, maybe right before the chasana, maybe they'll find out right after the chasana, maybe they'll find out in a year's time, but they're going to find out at some point.
A lot of them are nefesh.
So he says that if they find out later, it's going to be horrific. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be a catastrophic machlokes. They might get married and then get divorced and just a mess. Whereas if you tell them now, yes, they might do rechilos and they might say, oh, you terrible, good for nothing Mendy's family and Baruch Hashem that Kobe told us about you. But it's going to be much less than if you don't. So how could it be that it's not mutter? You're minimizing. He asks another kasha. Ein safik mitzi midei vada. If you don't tell them, then there's definitely going to be tremendous machlekes, like we just said. And if you do tell them, maybe there will be machlekes, maybe there will be a rechilus about you, maybe not.
No, but you can't say vada and something that will be. You can't say vada after will be machlekes.
You don't think it's a vada? If Mendy really is Be'emet HaCholed Nefesh Ritzini, That's what he writes it. He writes Chole Nefesh Retzini. If he really is a Chole Nefesh Retzini, so you don't think that there's going to be big machlokes later? There will. I'm not telling you, because I'm going to completely disagree with every single thing that he says. I'm doing a good job of saying over his time is though, right? You're pretty convinced, right? No, so I'm being good, right? Even though I'm after this, if I have time, you know, I might run out of time, and you guys might just be left with what he said. The last kasha that he says, no, he doesn't want to be chaylik on the Chafetz Chaim. He's going to say a hesber.
No, I agree with his tainus.
Oh, you'll have to hear mine though. I don't know if we'll have time for mine. Maybe I'll have to do this as a second installment, but we'll see. His last kasha is that later in the very same klal, the Chafetz Chaim brings this idea and says it as a tzarech inyun. He says it b'derech safek. He says as follows: he's talking over here about a guy that you don't want him to get cheated, to pay way more than something really costs, or, you know, should cost. So you want to tell him, you know, don't go into that store over there, they cheat people. So he says, one of the conditions is, Sha'ishu misaper loy, loy yiyeh b'tivoy halech rochil. He must not be someone who is accustomed to being a reichel, who goes and tells, oh yeah, it's a good thing, yeah, he told me that you're a ganef. It's talking about where he already bought it. And he says, if this guy is going to go into the store, he's going to say, you know, Yeshua Berman told me that this thing is nowhere near worth what I paid you. You ganef, you cheat. Baruch Hashem that Yeshua told me about you. Rechimus, Rechimus! Says the Chafetz Chaim, Tzarech Iyun, Im Mutter L'Saper L'Ish Kazeh HaEmes. Tzarech Iyun. What does Tzarech Iyun mean? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you're allowed to tell this guy the truth. Could be. Too bad. Too bad. It's like my father always liked to have a little rhyme. You know, the kid writing from camp writes to the father, no mun, no fun, your son. The dad writes back, too bad, so sad, you're dad. Okay? So, sometimes it's too bad. Too bad. If you're a Heilig Rachel, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. So you paid $100 for something that should have cost... No, not this. 5 agarot, or 1. Too bad. Why? Because you're causing him to be Iver and be Nitzel and Rechilus. However, if you think that if you warn him, listen, do not say a word to the Meicher about the fact that I told you and that he'll listen to you, so then go ahead and do that. Could I trouble you to fill this up for me, please? Right over here, it's fine. You can fill it up. I don't mind the tap water. No, it's fine. I really don't mind. It was filled up with tap water to begin with. You should, by the way, truth be told, you should know, with the filters, filtered water, derech agav, if they don't change the filter when they're supposed to, yitachen ma'od that it's much worse than regular tap water. Because what happens is that all the schmutz builds up inside the filter.
We had a filter at home, and we took it out after a lot.
And it looks gross, right?
It was all black and eaten in.
I was in a certain yeshiva once where they had one of these filter water fountains. The smell coming out of the water fountain was terrible. Anyway, that's Maimar HaMuzker, you know, Chaya Debirisa. Thank you very much for getting the water. Okay, so he asks, why over here is the Chafetz Chaim leaving it as a Tzarech Iyun? Why does he leave it as a Tzarech Iyun? So he basically says the following mahalach. He quotes a sefer by the name of... Bear with me for just a moment. Wow, it's long. Shvilei Chaim on the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, I'm not familiar. So he quotes Shvilei Chaim, who says like this. He says, a mahalach, basically, that more or less answers up all these kashas. The Chafetz Chaim never meant to say that any time that it's going to cause rechilus, that you're not allowed to tell. No, it's not what he meant. He's medayik it from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Be'er Mayim Chaim says, "Va'al yedei zeh yuchal lavoi machlokes gedoyla." A big machlokes could come out of this. So he says, why a big machlokes? And if it'll be a small machlokes, it's okay? So he says like this. He says that if you're telling what you want to tell to prevent him from, you know, whatever it is you want to prevent him from, might or will cause a very big machlokes that would not have taken place without you saying what you wanted to say, that is where the Chafetz Chaim says, asur, you're not allowed, you can't do it. But if it's not going to be a big machlokes, if it's not going to be a big deal, so then it is mutter. That's basically, in a nutshell, what he says. And that's why, I'm not going to go back through every single one of his questions and explain how it answers every single question. What I would rather do, with the time remaining that we have, is explain why I don't think that his questions are valid, and therefore I don't agree with his maskana. His maskana at the end of the day is that Kobe absolutely has to tell Espy's family. He has to tell them. They might go and speak rechilus about him, and they might go to Mendy's family and to who knows who else and say, you know, Baruch Hashem that Kobe told us about you. He has to tell them. Like someone of Damayefo, if you don't tell them, the results could be disastrous, and you have to tell them. Now, he's not being samich only on himself. He's quoting other Paiskin. He's quoting other Rabbanim. But I would like to, not necessarily lehalacha ulevaisa, but at the very least, aliba de pilpula, see if maybe these questions are not such valid questions. His first question was, why did the Chafetz Chaim wait until now? Why didn't he say it all the way back, you know, where he started in Hilchos Lashon Hara? So it's very simple. I think the answer to that question is very, very simple. What is the definition of Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is Lidugma. Let's say you saw a guy, I don't know what, you saw him, he didn't come to Shacharis that morning. So you go to your friend and say, Shimmy didn't come to Shacharis this morning. Did you notice? Shimmy wasn't here. He wasn't at Shacharis. Right? Or I don't know what else, right? You know, the guy was looking at something on his device which wasn't so IAI. He says, did you see what Shimmy was looking at on his device? Wait, you looked at it? No, I just happened to notice. Right? That's Lashon Hara. So that is not the type of thing where it's normal that the guy will then go and say, you should know, by the way, that Yahushua just told me that's not a normal thing. It could happen, but that's not min hastam going to happen. However, when it comes to rechilus, which this is the chelik of the Sefer, what's rechilus? Rechilus is, you should know, by the way, I heard that Shimmy was talking about you behind your back. So what's the teva of most people? He's going to go to Shimmy and he's going to say, how dare you talk behind my back? Oh, Shimmy's going to say, what are you talking about? He's like, Yahushua just told me you were talking behind my back. Right? That's like the normal hishtalshelus hadvarim for people that don't know these halachas or don't keep them or, you know, whatever. So that's why he waited till now, because this is where it's nageya. This is where it's matsui. This is where it's probable to happen. So I think his first kasha is b'chol not a kasha. What was his second kasha? His second kasha was that an aid is allowed to go be made even though he might cause the defendant. There's the plaintiff and the defendant, the tain and the nitan. Okay? The defendant is the person saying, I don't owe a thing. The plaintiff is the person saying, you owe me. So the witness is allowed to go testify, even if it will cause the defendant to take a shuas sheker. So we see that you have to help out Reuven, even in the event that it's going to cause Shimon to possibly do an iser. So how can you tell me that I'm not allowed to go help my friend to prevent him from making a shuddis, which is a bad shuddis, if it's going to cause him an iser? So I wanted to tie that this is not a raya. Why is it not a raya? Because there's a mafurish pasuk in the Torah that talks about an erechot that says im lo yagid v'nasa avoynoi. There's a mafurish pasuk in the Torah that's mechayev in erechot to be made is edus. He has to testify what he knows. It's a mafurish chiv in the Torah. On top of that, there's a ma'arechet called Bezdin. If I would tell you that not everything which is okay within the ma'arechet of Bezdin is okay outside of Bezdin, would that be a difficult concept to swallow? I'll give you an example. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if two people say a gnus about Pliny, they say, we saw Pliny smoking on Shabbos. Are you allowed to believe them? No. Now, what if, in the time when there's a Bezdin and they can give Chiv Eskilo?
According to Chafetz Chaim book, you're not allowed to lamin nothing.
Wait. If you go to Bezdin and you happen to be there, when two Edom come to Bezdin and say to Bezdin, we saw Pliny smoking on Shabbos. And the Bezdin does the drishas and the chakiras and the whole thing. And they finish. Are you allowed to believe it? Yes. Yes. Why? What's the difference? Says the Chafetz Chaim, because only in Bezdin does their Sipur have a Shem Edus. It's only called Edus in Bezdin. Wait a minute. It's the same two people saying the exact same thing, just one happens to be outside of Bezdin, one happens to be in Bezdin. Yeah, but that's the whole point. There's a ma'arechet, there's a system called Bezdin, and it works with its own rules and regulations. And there's a reason for that. There's no other way to do it. This is the way it can function. There is no other way for it to function. You can't have the functioning of justice if you don't have someone coming in, testifying, no matter what that might cause. No matter what fights or isurim that it might cause. This is a din in Bezdin. So you're going to tell me that from Bezdin, I'm going to prove to regular Dinei Ben Adam Lachaveroi of the Laisamar al Damriyecha, which is the Negev to regular Ben Adam Lachaveroi? Now, what I just said is not so pashut, because one of the rayas, if not the main raya, that the Chafetz Chaim brings, that the din of Laisaman al Damriyecha applies not only to where your fellow Jew is in Sakonis Nefashis, but even to prevent a monetary loss or any other type of loss to him, that's also included in Loi Samayd al Damriyecha. One of his rayas, if not his main raya, is Edus. That we see that Edus thing, you have to be made because Laisaman al Damriyecha. So, we can leave that as a ha'ara. But that's not one of the most... You know, I don't think this particular question is at the crux of it. So we'll leave that for now. Let's talk about what I think was perhaps really the main kasha that was bothering him. You know that Jack the Mafioso is going to go cut off the guy's nose. He's going to cut off Yankel's nose. Well, Jack and Yankel, same person, yeah? Jack the Mafioso is going to go cut off Reuven's nose. A very, very serious nezik. Or he's going to go beat him up, mamish. The guy's going to be like a piece of pulp lying on the floor. You know, just shy of dead. Obviously, we're not talking about Sakonis Nefashos mamish. If we were talking about Sakonis Nefashos mamish, there's nothing to talk about. Because Sakonis Nefashos is doicha everything except for the Gimel Chamurais. And Chilul Hashem.
So, this is Sakonis Nefashos, for sure.
No, no, no. So let's say it's not Sakana Sefashis. Let's say you know he's not going to get there. It's not going to get to Sakana Sefashis. Let's say you know. A theoretical situation. Theoretical situation. You know that he's going to beat him up bad, real bad. But he's not. It's not going to get to Sakana Sefashis. So he says, is it possible that I'm not allowed to tell Reuven to beware of Jack? Because it might come to Rechilus, because Jack is going to find out that I was the one who told Reuven, and it's going to cause a fight between me and Jack. So I'm going to read you. I'll come at 9. This is in Siv Gimel. Ve'ato nevar oid inin echad. She'ein boi mishum iser Rechilus. I'm going to tell you another thing, says the Chafetz Chaim, that the iser Rechilus does not apply. You overheard someone say, "In efka leploini b'makom ploini akenu, oy achar fenu va'agad fenu." You overheard someone say, "If I meet up with so and so, I'm gonna hit him, or I'm gonna rank him out, you know, and curse him out." Or you overheard that he said that I'm gonna do some monetary damage to him. I'm going to rip off his Armani suit and rip it to shreds. You know, or I'm going to burn down his house. I don't know what. Tali bazet. It depends. Ima yisha zehu mukhzak linin zeh mikvar shekame po amim asakim anoshim acherim. If this guy already has a chazaka because he's done it to numerous other people, you know, he's the mafioso type. Oy, shumakir lufiya inim shalo yatsakim ipi b'derach gizum ba'almo b'vada yasakim. Or, you could tell, even if he's not the type of guy that's already done this numerous times, but you could tell he wasn't saying it Baguzma. He wasn't just saying it. He meant it. He really meant it. Ubevada yasaken, and he's gonna do it. Sarich legalay stavrzela hashakenegdo. You have to go tell the other guy. Ula yuchal yizarim and bechadesh leagim menu lo biushay hezek, because maybe he'll be able to protect himself. So that he shouldn't get embarrassed or shouldn't get damaged. Ach, sarich lizaher shelo yachzeru bazeh gamkin kol haprotim anal. Says the Chafetz Chaim, but on the condition that you are fulfilling all the conditions. Harei lifaneinu, the Chafetz Chaim talks about a case of someone saying that he's going to go hit someone, or he's going to go cause monetary damage. And he says, you have to have all the conditions. If you don't have all the conditions, you may not. Wait a minute. Time out. Why doesn't he say, well, it depends. If he said, I'm going to break both of his arms and break both of his legs and I'm going to smash his face in, well, then you have to tell him even if you don't have the conditions. Or if he said, I'm gonna go hack into his account online, and I'm gonna erase all of his assets that are worth $100,000. Huge nezek. The Chafetz Chaim is not machalik. He doesn't say, oh, it depends. It depends how big the nezek is. No. He says, the guy said, I'm gonna hit him, or I'm gonna do some monetary damage to him, and he says, you have to have all the pratim, you have to fulfill all the conditions. And if not, too bad, so sad, you're dead. Too bad. Too bad. So he was assuming, the writer of this tshuva, as a davar pashut, it can't be. It can't be. It can't be. Like, sabna damriyecha, it's impossible. It's impossible. How could it be that if I see that so-and-so stands to take a tremendous nezek, that I'm not going to save it from him because I might cause him to do rechilos? Well, maybe the answer to that question is in hachi nami. Well, just because you can't fathom that such a thing could be usur, therefore that makes it mutter without any source whatsoever, without a makar. And not only that, but I'm pointing out that the pashtus of the Chafetz Chaim is lehegya, not like what he's saying. He talks about a case of physical damage, monetary damage. He does not differentiate between the degree, the relative degree of that physical or monetary damage, and he says that you don't have the conditions, too bad. I would like to address this Tmiya Rabbothi. This what time is it?
1 minute to seven.
Okay. I would like to just end off quickly by addressing his Tmiya Rabbothi, and I think this is Nageya to an incredible array of Shailas L'Halacha Ulamaisa that come up in Hilchas Lashon Hara. Very, very often, we all feel this Tmiya. How could I not say? How could you not say? I'll explain what I'm about to say with a mashal. I was once in a Hatzalah, Beit Shemesh gave a first responders course. So I forgot who the guy was. An American guy, he lives on the other side.
Now?
Yeah, no, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's like stocky, like a beard like this. I forgot what his name is.
So wrong?
Yeah, I think so. So he was giving the course, and he was telling us, at least back then this was the policy, that when someone's choking, right, so you're going to go do the Heimlich maneuver, or whatever it is you're going to do, the different maneuvers of how to, you know, are you going to start doing artificial respiration, right, you're going to give him breaths. He says, only if the airway is 100% closed.
Not touch the baby if it's not.
That's right, what he said. He said, if the guy's going, right, the guy's choking, but there's the ever so slightest little bit of air that's getting in and out, don't touch him. That's what he told us. One of the guys sitting there says to, literally like this, but he's choking. You have to do something just like that. So he said to him, no, you don't. What was that guy saying? The guy who said, but he's choking. You have to do something. And Moshe Brahma said, no, you don't. That guy's coming from a place of feeling we're in control. This is a hashkafic point, but it mamish hits at like the central nerve of these inyanim. We feel like we have to do something. I have to fix this problem. There's a serious problem over here and I have to fix it. Hey, Habibi, you know what? Not every problem in the world can you fix. There's a blurry island in the world. And he takes care of things. Sometimes he wants you to get involved. Sometimes. If the airway is totally blocked, he wants you to get involved. If it's not, he doesn't. The Chofetz Chaim is telling us, if all of these conditions are fulfilled, what that means is that Hashem is saying, I want you to get involved. But if they're not fulfilled, hey Habibi, not everything in the world is for you to fix. You're sitting there saying, wait a minute, if I don't go tell Esti's family, there's going to be World War III. They're going to wind up getting married, or maybe right before the wedding, or maybe at the wedding, and there's going to be a horrific disaster. You know what? That has nothing to do with you. You feel like, but I have to do something. How could I just leave this? There's a Bayrei Olam in the Welt. He controls the world. And if according to his laws, you are not allowed to get involved, then that means, no, you don't do anything. Because it's not up to you. And I think that's really at the heart of the answer to his Tmiya. Because his Tmiya is, how can I let this happen? What do you let it happen? You run the world? It's up to you to fix everybody's problems? No. If the law says all the conditions are fulfilled, so then that means that Hashem is saying, you, get involved, now. Go, do the Heimlich maneuver. The airway is completely closed. But if not, it's none of your business. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam's business. Okay, I've come for today.